to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. Well, good evening. Good evening. Another episode of Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Chris Hurst and Ron Powers. We're missing Brandon Johnson tonight. He's out, and that's okay. So we'll see him next week. Miss that brother, but he is doing the things he has to do. So anyway, and we didn't have Chris last week, so she was greatly missed, but we are glad she is back. And she, I think she kind of wore herself down last week. She had some assignments, and she's now back and probably a little bit under the weather, is what you were saying. And so anyway, if there's any coughs or sneezes, just give her grace. So should be a good night. We got a lot of stuff.
That's right. I was up and down the state of California from early to late on a prayer journey. And so it took a toll. It was a 10-day prayer journey, just praying for the breakthrough for our precious state of California to turn around and to see the glory. She really needs to shift into the destiny that she should be. And I really believe where California goes, the nation will go. We are influencers, but I'm glad to be back. And so I will be probably, I've been sneezing a lot and coughing, but I thought, you know what? We were praying beforehand, weren't we, Ron? And I said, you know, when I'm weak, God can be strong. And it's the content of the message and it's the heart. And really, we always just come as we are. We certainly, you can see you've got us the way we are authentically. And so our listeners, we just are so grateful that they love us all the same. And our purpose for Wake the Bear, it's not about us. It's about alerting the people of California, and that's who really the bear is, to the fact that the freedoms are being quickly eroded in our state through so many bad public policies and unethical mandates and sexualizing our children and yada, yada, yada. And we want to shift the sound from a deceptive message that the mainstream media gives us, to the sound of hope and one of truth. And we know that if we come together, we're empowered and we can unite our voices, and our listening community can join our yes, and we can release a message of hope. And really knowing what's going on is half the battle.
Amen. Amen. You know, knowledge is power, but also the power of prayer. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, I'll be praying for you as a nice gesture, but you really take it seriously. You know, you're what you're called an intercessor. And you are going on behalf of the people, interceding on their behalf, whether some people know it or not. And so when you're praying down strongholds. There's a whole spiritual plane, and I don't pretend to be too knowledgeable on it. I know by teaching, but I have not had the experience like you've had. But you go in and you tear down strongholds because there's a whole level, an invisible realm, as Paul talks about, that controls the physical. And when you can tear things down in a spiritual level, you will see the physical manifest that. I remember watching John Ramirez, I think. He was an ex-Satanist, became a Christian evangelist, and he would walk down the streets of the ghettos and say, hey, see that graffiti there? That's a stronghold there. That's actually a sign, a satanic symbol there, and this witchcraft, and they use this. And this store sells these little idols, and this one is a sign of murder, and this happens to be the murder capital of the city right here on this street. And then when we had that torn down and removed and prayed against it, blah, 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 you know, it fell completely to where it, you know. And so there is a spiritual realm, and so that's what she's talking about when she's on these assignments. She's with people that are very sensitive to what's going on in that realm. And they see things manifest later in the physical. And because of their work, there's a lot of, they're kind of unsung heroes in a lot of ways because they're behind the scenes. So yeah. I'm glad you're doing that. just keep praying for me. but yeah, the bear, she's praying for the bear. The bear is California. The bear is waking up. And that's why we call ourselves Wake the Bear. We are waking up primarily people in California, but we really cover world news and the national news of this country and how maybe California ties into that. And so if you haven't seen our website, I'd like to just take you over there to our website just to look at, you know, we have a lot of shows. We've been doing, this is our 131st show. And as a result, you know, we've got a whole collection of shows here. I'm trying to get this called up here. Share screen. Here we go. Wake the Bear. So it's our website right here. Wake the Bear. You know, we are live right now every Monday night between 7 and 8 Pacific time. And you can click on any of these, the Twitter, Cloud Hub, Rumble. And so if you can tell friends about this, we'd appreciate it. You know, share, like, just get the word out. We cover a lot of good things. Last week it was the whole bloodbath theme. You know, they went crazy. The week before, the State of the Union, you know, then the election correction for democracy's hypocrisy. You know, we talked about the court, the Colorado court, their decision to keep Trump on the ballot. And anyway, it just goes and goes and goes. And we've got just a ton of great shows. And, you know, if you have any questions or you disagree, we'd love to hear feedback. You know, we're not perfect in everything we do. We try our best to get the truth. And sometimes people with a deep knowledge of a specific area, they may come and say, hey, I'd like to correct you on something. So there's Brandon Johnson at Brandon@WakeTheBearRadio.com, Chris Hirsch with a K, Chris@WakeTheBearRadio.com, and then myself, Ron Powers. So it'd be Ron@WakeTheBearRadio.com. And we'd love to have feedback, you know, if you have any daily pauses. Sometimes we do deep dives. We do, this one was when we were at the Great Awakening Tour with
Clay Clark.
Clay Clark's. I'm just blanking out. See?
That's all right. It was fabulous. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was an interview Brandon did. And then we interviewed a local radio host just at KSCO, Mama Bears Radio, with Kristen Hurley. And then I did a deep dive on understanding Israel in these times and various ones. I think, Chris, you kind of go back a ways. Here we go. There's Hope in the Shaking. Chris tends to have some really deep insights into things that are happening, you know. So anyway, that's our daily pause. So I think I'll just stop with that. But yeah, wakethebearradio.com.
Yes. And you know, there is a lot of shaking. We had that discussion before we came on the air because it feels there are some weeks that feel a little bit heavier than other weeks. And this is one of those weeks. There are some good points, and we need to always come up higher because this nation has to get shaken to its roots in order to uproot the things that are evil and for people to understand what's going on. That doesn't mean we contribute to the problem. We don't hope that things are going to get worse because, frankly, our job is to occupy until Jesus comes, and we don't know when that is. So we're to be the light. We're to have a purpose of hope, regardless of what's going on around us. And this week, there were a lot of things. I know last week when we started the show, that's when Haiti was in cuckoo land. It was a lot of Americans fled Haiti, didn't they? I was in Haiti it was right after, not immediately after the earthquake that was there, but soon after. And I went to train young people in medical emergencies and to teach them how to care for their friends and neighbors until they could get help professionally or get to a hospital. So I went to Haiti for a couple weeks and did some traveling around teaching small groups, almost like a neighborhood CERT class for the Haitians. And they're beautiful people. It's a beautiful land, but it felt very chaotic. It felt very vulnerable at that time. So I can imagine with the political things going on in Haiti right now that it's probably not a safe time as an American to be visiting there. And you can't help but think.
Yeah, there's actually a resurgence.
Clinton Foundation and all that when you think about Haiti.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say the same thing. You just said it. You know, the Clintons are kind of back in the news on that, and hopefully it'll be a deeper dive. And there's a different audience now than there was when it first was happening years and years ago. And so I think more people will dig deeper. You know, also last Monday, I think that was speculation about Kate. You know, they hadn't seen her and they thought she was missing. And I remember it went across my wife's feed, Prince William or King William or Prince. Yeah. It might be having an affair, you know, it's just all kinds of weird things. And now later in the week, it comes at least to the news. They're saying, she has cancer and it's going to start chemo. And who knows? I don't even know if that's even a true story, to be honest. I just don't trust. There are a lot of questionable things. Some of the footage of her was pretty dated and old, years old, like 7 years old, and missing a mole and didn't have a dimple and just some weird things.
It was just odd. So she gave her announcement, didn't she, that she had cancer. And it was in a place that looked like the Queen's garden where the Queen has a park bench where she's taken some photos before. But Kate had, there was an old picture of her in the exact same sweater, you know, if you're the royal, with the same hairstyle, sitting in that that seat. And it looked very much like a mock-up. So there's a question that what was that even her? But you know, that the bigger question is, how strange is that? Why would they even do that except for to give an excuse that, where is she? Why aren't you seeing her? But I mean, it just gives opportunity for the conspiracies to fly. So just know that everything you see may not be true.
Yep. On a good note, Trump sues Stephanopoulos, for defaming him and stuff like that. You know, I mean, if E. Jean Carroll can charge and get all that, from Trump, Donald Trump, speaking unfavorably of her, he's going to do the same thing, we'll probably see a two-tier justice system. So what happened the next day on Tuesday last week, looks like the U.S. dropped in. It's no longer the top 20 happiest countries in the world. No surprise there with just what's going on with the crazy resident in the White House.
Yes, I didn't even know there was a happy rating. So some nations are in the top 20 and we no longer are, as the United States of America. Evidently, our happy rating has gone down the tube. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. One of the things I had heard too is the RNC says it will not be hiring Scott Pressler. If that's true, I was disappointed, but I was actually surprised that he was, just because he seems such a ground roots, person rather than some professional. You know what I mean? Professional, like, I'm a political science major and this is all I do is do politics, I come from this big family. So I was a little bit surprised that he was even offered, but I thought he would have been great. He was out there getting votes, and that's what it was. He was supposed to be hired for, is to help get voters. And he would do that. He'd clean up cities and get signed people up to vote and stuff. Just a real grassroots type of guy. Wednesday. What about Wednesday? Anything?
Well, my favorite president's son turned 18 last week. I think Barron is taller than President Trump. So he is a very tall man, and Baron is even above his dad, at least a few inches. So it's hard to believe because he was so young when they entered the White House with Melania the first time. So he really has launched, and he's a young man.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're not trying to tear him apart. Hands off the family has been always something that the media has been fairly consistent at. You know, it was interesting that Mike Tyson, he's been in the news lately, but he mentioned that he had, I think it was dinner with the Trumps 2 weeks ago. And he just said, well, one, he said, you know, Trump is just amazing. He's the man. But he also said Barron is just a smart, smart young man. He was just really impressed with him. And so I thought that was very interesting. And you know, Mike Tyson's been in the news lately because there's talk that he may be fighting a guy half his age that's a UFC fighter with a big mouth. And so he's been showing his workouts, and everyone's like, oh, you're going to die. Tyson's going to just nail you to the ground. Another thing about Barron is interesting. Do you remember that book that was written over 100 years ago called The Last President? It was very interesting. It was written like over, I think almost 150 years ago. And it was called The Last President. And you know, the character in that was named Barron Trump. And he was the last president.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is really fabulous.
It's very interesting. You never know, you know.
No, you never know. But, and we were talking about Bobulinski earlier. And you said you saw some footage of him when he was testifying in the Congress. Talk a little bit about that, because that's significant, and that's something we could call a win.
Yeah, I definitely will. Let me call it up real quick, because I think I've got a couple of them that are good. I think it's, yeah, this one right here. Let me just go for it.
Mr. Bobulinski for his opening statement.
Should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first?
Well, doesn't appear Mr. Biden showed up for his public hearing, so we'll recognize you, Mr. Bobulinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman, ranking members, and members of Congress, good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you and present my truthful testimony to the American people. I sit here today under oath for one reason and one reason only. The American people deserve to hear the truth. Though the truth involving the deep corruption of the Biden family, including the malfeasance of the sitting president of the United States, might be raw and unpleasant, the American people must hear it. You're presented here today with two narratives in this investigation, a false one being pushed by Joe Biden, a serial liar and fabulous, now under this impeachment investigation for public corruption, his brother Jim Biden, a 75-year-old man who can't keep his lies straight, including under oath, and his son Hunter Biden, a chronic drug addict facing two indictments with 12 counts. You also have before you the truth, confirmed by multiple Biden family business partners over many years and backed up by mountains of irrefutable evidence, including text messages, emails, documents, recordings. I am the only Biden family business partner with an impeccable military record.
Anyway, he goes on and talks about, you know, what he what he's done, but also just how corrupt. And at one point he calls people in Congress that are you know, protecting him a bunch of liars. And one of these congressmen get really upset and they start talking while he's talking, and they have to stop for a second. And the guy that's asking the question says, I'm sorry, you know, I interrupted. There's a question whether you can call Congress, you know, if they're part of this being called liars. And yeah, it's okay, you can continue on. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. But then, you know, there was a little bit of a back and forth with AOC, who loves to put her, you know, foot in her mouth quite often. And she did here. And so I thought this was very interesting. So let me just go with that real quick.
You lied about interacting with Hunter Biden's business associates. It is my belief Joe Biden is the closer for Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, and their business associates in foreign interests. Good luck to the left proving otherwise. Thank you. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime?
Just cuts him right off.
Testimony today.
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is Sarah, what is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
it's
the
category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged?
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges, sir.
Anyway, she goes on. The takeaway for that little exchange there was that she absolutely knows nothing. Fox News really had it with her. The whole thing. RICO is not a crime. RICO is racketeering. It's racketeering. And so
that's
what's
serious. A serious crime. And the context is that Tony Bobulinski was one of Hunter Biden's ex-business partners. And so we have someone who is in the Biden camp who basically is turning evidence, very specific evidence against them. And so this is a significant hearing. I mean, it also shows that the circus and the dog and pony show that goes on in these hearings is rather discouraging, where you try to get to the root of the problem and the truth of the problem, and you're interrupted.
Yeah, I know. And it was very frustrating to see that part of it. And she goes on for like 5 minutes, just blah, 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 blah. But she gets put in her place by Nancy Mace right here. Just
dollars into one of Hunter Biden's business projects days later after this phone call.
She just goes.
Yes.
Okay. Did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
Yes, he did.
Did this during this call, did Hunter Biden update Joe Biden on progress in a landing a business partnership with Harvest Fund Management?
Yes.
Okay.
She goes on just rapid fire, all these things that are just proving that, Joe Biden's guilty of fraud and lying under oath and all these things. And she talks to this guy and also Bobulinski as well. Just rapid fire. And it just really made AOC look like a complete fool, because she's trying to skirt it and create straw man arguments and stuff. So I thought it was a very good good day in front of Congress. A lot of truth came out. A lot of people heard it. I mean, this guy Bobulinski just came out swinging, and it was very, very firm with that. And that's just a sampling of some of the things. But good day in court that week. That was like on Wednesday it started, and that made its news. Also on Wednesday, Mark Cuban, you remember him from Shark Tank. He was former heavy backer of Nikki Haley. Now he's attending Biden fundraisers. True colors must be showing, It just shows again that, so it's just crazy. But
That's the painful reality of what the GOP party is having to tolerate, that the true colors are coming out. A lot of Haley backers, and I don't believe that he was an independent. So it's just kind of sick to see that they are more never Trumpers, that they'll give up anything just so that Trump will not get into office, won't get elected, which makes you think that there's something that Mark Cuban doesn't want to come out.
Yeah, probably went to a certain island. That's my guess. But interesting. Last Thursday, the next day, True Social proved to go public. I actually bought some stock. I don't have a lot of stock in anything, but I bought some stock knowing it was going to be tied to something with Donald Trump in the future. And it was a number of years ago. And I got one of those, hey, you got to vote on this, by the 22nd. And so it was True Social. They were going to merge with it's DWAC, I think it is. It's a data or digital something acquisition corp. And they merged. And
yes,
so,
they did.
And
in fact, you know what it did is it got Donald Trump's net worth to $6.4 billion.
Yeah, so, like doubled.
Yeah,
I think it's doubled. 3 points something he gets just off of that deal. So it's like, praise the Lord, you know, once, you know, the devil comes after you. And I'm happy for him. I really am. That guy has taken so many slings and arrows. I mean, you know, the E. Jean Carroll, I mean, he, you know, isn't it, if somebody is in a court case against someone else and one says this and the other one says opposite, you know, that's basically, she says, oh, he took, you know, he raped me or something. And he says, no, she's lying. He gets sued for saying that, like slandered, and they never proved it in that court case with E. Jean Carroll, right? And so,
well,
it's like
the end of the story hasn't been told yet.
That's right. It's just bizarre the amount of money that they're trying to suck out of them. And then, you know, with Letitia James wanting that 4.64, we'll talk about that in a little bit. That'll be one of the main stories. But yeah, anyway.
Yes. Just, and you're talking about True Social that it was getting ready to launch. It actually goes under the ticker symbol tomorrow. Oh. On Wall Street as DJT. That's the ticker symbol. So I'm excited to watch True Social's ticker tape across the Wall Street tape. So tomorrow is the big launch, and it's a great win for Donald Trump. Devin Nunes is still heading the social media platform of True Social, but that whole trading is more than just True Social. It's a larger conglomerate of a media corporation.
Yeah. I mean, I know probably Rumble's a part of that and things like that. So, you know, it just shows that he's building. They're getting ready for the big day. There is a day when, you know, the news, there's going to be a blackout. No one's going to be able to hear it. And the truth will be able to be found. It'll be found at True Social. And for those that are a little thick in the skull, if you're looking for truth, just look for something that has the word truth in the title, like Truth Social, and you'll find it. So, yes, it's going to be good. Oh, let's move on before we get to our main stories. You want to just go on to Friday? You know, that's a sad day. Actually, that was actually be one of our main, maybe that the Senate.
Yep. I have just been really struggling with the Senate passing the $1.2 trillion funding package. I mean, it feels like when I heard that, it was like, no, no, they can't do this. It's such a travesty on so many points. And we will highlight what that package that the Republicans were given 1,000 pages of a pork package to read in 24 hours. It was 2 inches thick, and then to pass it. And spoiler alert, it got passed, and it was across Biden's desk today and got signed. So we're going to talk about what's in that package coming up and what we are funding, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's amazing if you think about it. I mean, the Democrats, they don't really think when they vote. They just vote the same, right? I mean, there's very few times you ever see a dissension within those ranks. But the Republicans, they do think. And unfortunately, a percentage of them weren't thinking. And they sided with the Democrats and got a majority, even though the Republicans do have a majority in the House. Granted, I think it's only one, but, you know, they don't. So I'll give them credit for thinking, and there's a little dissension. You know, every person is an individual thinking and representing themselves or their group. So they're not blindly doing it. But at the same time, you know, if you're a Republican, I would have thought you would have been against this crazy amount of spending. I mean, just uncontrolled spending. And it's actually kind of the theme of this presentation tonight, or this show tonight. It's basically, you know, Uncle Sam here pimping out, and every problem you see, you read in the news that's sad, It seems to be backed up by U.S. taxpayer dollar. Even though we don't support the majority of the things that are being supplied, you know, we're giving money to wars overseas, you know, and the whole thing about the massacre, you know, in Russia. It's like, you know, at first they're saying, oh, it's ISIS. And then it started to look like it was people from Ukraine. Well, whether it's ISIS or Ukraine, as you had pointed out earlier in our talk, Chris, before the show, it's still backed by U.S. Tax dollars. You know, John McCain helped start ISIS. ISIS was created during Obama's time, and you know, Trump got rid of them, but they're back now. You know, and then of course Ukraine, we did a coup d'état and took the country over basically in 2014. Victoria Nuland, you know, and they appointed who they wanted to be a NATO loving leader instead of the previous Russian siding type of leader, and you know, both of those. So either one of those, it's got the U.S.'s hands in that pie, and that massacre. I don't know. I guess we could bring it up right now if you'd like. Are you on mute there? Let's see.
Sorry about that. So yeah. Let's dive a little bit into that. So a few of the facts is that we know that there were several gunmen in military garb, and they opened fire on people in the Caracas City Hall concert venue. And as of right now, 133 people have died from being in that theater, and over 100 people were wounded. And so the attack occurred during a band that was named Picnic, just like the common name Picnic in English. And the gunman also allegedly used some explosives, because we saw that the building caught fire by pictures. And it ended up collapsing, which obviously interfered with the rescue of many of the victims. So originally, the ISIS was blamed, but Russian news stated that it was Ukrainian. So they've been blamed. There's been a counterattack by Russia since then. They've launched, I believe, 17 missiles at a city. I'm trying to think where it is that they've launched in Ukraine. There's been some missile launches, so I need to get my facts on that straight. And it just seems to be heating up and getting towards more like a war. But basically, the terrorist shooters were apprehended by what looked like they were going back to Ukraine. So they were followed. They were allowed to leave Moscow, where the shooting took place. And then they were apprehended at a checkpoint where they refused to stop. There was some shooting that occurred. And then four men were detained eventually and arrested. And they appear to be linked to some sort of terrorist cells in Syria and Ukraine, and trained by CIA is what they are talking about on the Russian news. They originally were recruited on Telegram, and they were offered 500,000 rubles, which is 5,000 US dollars. So it isn't like a great amount. And they were told that they were just to kill people regardless of who they were. So this is what's come across from Russian television, and they do have some photos. They showed some photos of the gunmen when they were apprehended at the checkpoint that the Russian, not just media, but obviously the intelligence, allowed them to release. And so that's the initial story of the incident.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was watching RT News a little bit. That's a Russian news because I just don't trust. I don't know which one to trust, you know, to be honest. But, you know, I want to at least get their perspective along with our own. And, you know, all those guys were all beat up. I mean, they had black eyes and bloody faces and stuff. So they definitely were interrogated pretty rough. And I think the Russians have always had that, at least we've given them that persona you know, you don't want to be stuck in a Russian jail or anything like that. But yeah, I guess Instagram is where it all came through, and that's where they got hired through that. I wonder if they'll close that down, right? Just like they wanted to close 4chan and 8chan and, you know, Akun and those things, but not Facebook, you know. So interesting, but very sad. Our hearts go out to it. As of an hour ago, I did watch it one last time. It's up to 138 people dead, and I think 129 injured or 128 injured. And I'm sure that it'll probably go up even more. But very sad. I mean, just, you know, and it seems like the spirit of Antichrist, you know, that the spirit, you know, Revelation talks about the spirit of the dragon and Antichrist and the false prophet, which, you know, my interpretation is Muhammad is the false prophet, you know, biggest false prophet in the world. But they stir up the nations, they stir them up to get to a great last battle, you know. And it just seems like that whole pattern, however you interpret it, seems to be there. I mean, you've got possibly Islam attacking communists, you know, and then you got the West, NATO, you know, which is kind of the Antichrist or the papal, former papal powers. Just interesting to see all these things, and it makes you want to dive down and read more. But,
well, and there's the conspiracy possibility that the U.S. State Department had something to do with it. It was interesting that 2 weeks ago, the State Department ushered a warning to Americans in Moscow to stay away from concert venues, large gatherings, shopping malls for their own safety because of a possible terrorist attack. So there is some sort of, well, how did they know that was going to happen, and did they alert the Russian intelligence for that purpose? Blinken claims that Ukraine had no involvement, and of course Victoria Nuland, who was basically she's a hawk for Ukraine and wants to get as much money for Ukraine as possible, is she's calling it ISIS and not Ukrainian. And basically, I don't know if you saw that Ron Paul interview with Tucker, but he was talking about Black Swan events, and that these are events that you can't predict, but they create chaos and violence and fear. They're basically red flags that get people in fear. And General Flynn said that those would increase also. So we're not quite sure where the terrorists came from, but it sounds like Russia's doing the interrogation, and they have countered with 14 Russian bombers carrying out airstrikes on Ukraine. So the place is heating up, and it's very strange. The White House press conference, in that they asked John Kirby, who is serving as the White House National Security Communications Advisor, and they said, hey, what about that warning you gave 2 weeks ago about terrorist attack in Moscow? Did you know about it? And he said, oh, no, we didn't know anything was going to happen. I don't think that this was related to that warning at all. So he denied plausible deniability. He denied that they were related at all. And just remember that whether it was ISIS, we funded them, we trained them through CIA, we gave them the plans, we gave them the opportunities, or whether it was Ukraine, we funded them, we trained them, we taught them logistics and tactical strategic operations. So either way, the U.S., one way or another, is responsible to some extent for this attack, whether it's secondarily or otherwise.
Yeah, it just doesn't smell good either way. And I'm afraid that, you know, we may have our hands in it. And, you know, it could be, I'm not going to say it's a World War III, but it definitely could make us believe that it's coming, you know, and something to pray about. You know, if you're a believer, we were talking about, you know, intercessory prayer. That's interceding on behalf of others. And we need to intercede on behalf of this whole country and the world. Just that we can't have another third world war, you know. And I know it's on the books. It's been planned that way. Albert Pike, you know, the Masons, he designed for the world to be taken over. It's going to take three world wars, and they've had two of them, and they described them and stuff. So, you know, it's not like this is an original thought. You know, they definitely feel like another war is needed to get there. I mean, look what happened with a pandemic, right? I mean, you know, how much control can you get over that? How much control? Hey, we got to get rid of borders. We, you know, we'll get rid of all wars if we have no borders, and we have just one government. And wouldn't that be nice if we all had the same government? It just happens to be that it's run by very wealthy elites and who don't really want to have the majority of us around at all. They want to depopulate us. And the many ways you do that is through war and through
endless wars, as Trump would say. They're just endless wars. And what do? They create endless spending, endless deaths, and endless chaos and disruption of government and color revolutions and poverty and hunger and disruption of families and fathers leave home to go fight, just like right now the mean age in Ukraine. My heart just breaks for the Ukrainian people. The average soldier is in his 40s.
Yeah, so that means all your youth's been spent.
That's right. Yeah. And we just, in this omnibus bill that got signed by Joe Biden today, it went across his desk. There is another $500 million going to Ukraine. And so we are continuing to pour money into that region. And why don't we just shift to that? Because where we put our money is basically what we're saying we as people support. And although it breaks my heart as to where the money went, the people that we have put in Washington, both Democrats and Republicans, the majority voted for the omnibus bill of $1.5 trillion, that's a lot of zeros, spending packages. And so did you see what the list was, Ron?
I saw some of the crazy.
Why don't you share some of those? Because
The list. Let's see. Schumer put $1.5 million to encourage kids to play video games. John Fetterman giving podcasters $400,000. You know, these are all things of influence, right? I mean, the whole video thing, I mean, that's where a lot of violence is. My wife's been a staunch resistor against the video game industry. You know, every time there's a mass murder, she's like, it's those darn video games, you know, because, you know, you're learning how to shoot and just, you know, the mind doesn't always consciously and subconsciously make a difference. And you get,
and this is at a time when our nation is in a deficit and we are supposed to be tightening our belts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, obviously the podcasters, you know, that's just money, that's influence, you know, and who are they going to pay? They're going to pay influencers. That's what they're doing. They're right now, Democrats are paying to have influencers, or they don't necessarily have that great of influence yet. But, you know, so what else do we have? I have this list that you actually put it out, you know. Liz Warren, $1 million to amplify Latinx small businesses, you know, money for gay retirement homes, transgender elementary curriculum. I mean, you know, DEI funding.
Yep. Diversity, equity, inclusion funding. And that's kind of going away. Remember, a lot of these DEI departments and universities have been shut down because they were sucking money out of their universities. But no, we've reinfused money in the DEI agenda.
Yeah, DEI is just a way to fractionalize or fracture communities. you know, everything's, we'll take from one person, give to the other. And then
now put a label on someone and call it them victims and then give them money.
Yep. Give them money to become dependents, you know, money for special clothes to help teens hide their gender. You know, I mean, they don't celebrate, you know, it's interesting because I see some old movies like World War II and the women, they dressed in dresses and they had these styles. And I just like, wow, I just really like that look, you know, where a woman looked like a woman and the guy looked like a guy, you know, and so, yeah, just funny things like that. They're spending all kinds of money, you know, Green New Deal funding, of course, money to help.
$1.5 billion on the climate control, Green New Deal, electric this, and
that's a farce too.
Release that.
Yeah, that's a total farce. I mean, the whole, I think the electric car companies are going to really have a hard time in the future. We don't have an infrastructure to even support it. If everybody got it, you know, you have a power outage, you have your coal burning plant that's supporting all the electricity to you know, to charge your car, that gets taken out, or the main station. Well, you're not just without power, you're without transportation now. And so it's a double whammy. If you are dependent on electricity, you are really vulnerable. And they're finding now that rental cars, you know, when you go on vacation, the car rentals, they can't even get these electric cars used. Nobody wants to use them. I mean, who wants to use them? I don't know the area. I got an electric car and I got to charge halfway through. I'm driving around this whole island, or I'm driving from state to state. I don't want to be doing all that.
Spending your vacation plugged into into a charging station.
Exactly. It's just crazy, you know, but money's to help process illegals faster to cross the border. I mean, what is the hurry? Why do you need to do that? You know, it's just crazy. You obviously, you look at it and you just go, what is your motivation for that? I mean, you know, your own citizens are begging you to stop, please stop. You know, we're losing any support for the homeless and the those that need that support. And it's all going, you know, we're closing schools down to house just one thing after another. I mean, who's going to pay for all this stuff? You know, I just don't understand. I mean, I'd be fired if I were, you know, a bean counter at a big company and they said, hey, you know, you're spending like 10 times more than we're pulling in. We're going to be out of business like yesterday. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they don't care. They just don't care because they're taking in themselves. I think the mindset is for some of these is like, it's going, we've lost it. As long as we can pad ourselves, we can create our own little oasis community outside of the misery that's all around. And they'll move to a little gated community. They'll have personal private guards with their organic gardens while everybody else fights and kills each other in the streets and they eat all the chemicals and blah, 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 you know, and they'll let them all die off. That's just how I see how they must see it, because it doesn't make any other sense that way. Anyway, and some of the real sad things, late-term abortion funding. I mean, Mike Johnson, I'm sorry, I thought you were pro-life. You are not pro-life. You are not pro-life. You just gave money to kill babies. You are not pro-life. You late-term said you were.
Abortion. Yeah.
So you're either a liar. I don't know. I don't even, you know, there are a lot of people.
Yeah, he did not organize the Republican into the caucuses, that they didn't fight for this bill. They didn't come together. They didn't negotiate. They basically, Chuck Schumer ran the party and railroaded this bill through. And so very, very disappointed. I mean, one of them was $845,000 so that Colorado gays can host garden parties and art shows. Here we are in a deficit. And there were 25 Republicans that voted for this. Remember, the Republican is the majority in the House. And if all the Republicans had voted along the aisle, this would never have gotten passed. So, Chuck Grassley, you are a monumental disappointment. And
Lindsey
there
Graham.
Are many others. Mitch McConnell, he voted for it.
Yeah. Kate Britt of Alabama, John Boozman of Arkansas, Tom Cotton of Arkansas. You know, I was surprising there. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Mitt Romney, Utah, Shelley Moore, Capital West Virginia, Kevin Cramer, North Dakota, Johnny or Ernst of Iowa. I'm just naming some of these just so you know, who's a sellout. They don't have any in California, right? Because we probably don't have any Republicans.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
No, we don't have any in California that we're,
you know,
sellouts.
But
right now.
Really, really sad. You know, and I don't know what Chuck Schumer has. I mean, I think that guy deals with demons, to be honest. I really do. Not just because his politics are different, but, you know, when you're in Congress and you start talking to an empty chair, asking that invisible person to move so you could sit there, you've either lost your mind or you're talking to a demon. And at this point, I think it's the second one. But that's on video, by the way. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Yeah,
weird. Everyone's looking at him like, "What? Who are you talking to?" And he's just like, "Get out of my chair! Get out of my chair!" You know.
Yeah, and Mike Johnson, when he came in, he said the border is our number one priority. Well, I want you to know that we got nothing for the border on this omnibus bill. Nothing except for to get people through the border faster, so they wouldn't be inconvenienced by being in tents on cots, waiting to enter our nation. So the money that has been given at the border is not to secure it. It's to process people through more quickly so we don't have a bottleneck. And Marjorie Taylor Greene was on War Room with Bannon. And he said, I thought, what happened? I thought he said that the border was a priority. And she said that, you know, he's gotten rolled. He's not negotiated with strength, and that this was Chuck Schumer's bill, and it was the worst possible scenario for the Republicans. And it signals that Republicans are not in control of the House of Representatives, even though they have a larger number. So it was very, very telling. And, you know, it really talks to the selling of our country as a uniparty. And it's so important. I mean, it feels very ominous.
Ominous, yeah.
So just know that we're getting a shaking, and this bill is not a good bill, but it's gone through. And at this point, remember the names of the people who voted for it and got it passed.
Yes. And while you're mulling over those names in your head, this is what it looks like. This is our border. Wonder how secure that is. Oh, looks like one got through. Oh, they all come through. On to the next page.
Yeah. So that's the El Paso border. And we know that the riot just erupted there and migrants swarmed and they went over the U.S. National Guards. And on Twitter X, they're saying, well, why didn't they use their guns? Well, you saw that other big fence that was there. Just remember what we see on media is trying to manipulate our emotions. Now, this is happening, but there's a reason that we're looking at that. Migrants are, you know, there's been a TikTok posting of an illegal that was invading American homes, and he was training people, other migrants, how to go in and squat. You know, that progressive squatter laws are favoring illegal immigrants. If they can find an abandoned home, or if you're gone for a week and they know it's empty and they can go in and take over, there are some strange progressive squatter laws. So he was giving a TikTok, this young illegal migrant, saying, hey, this is how you do it. And if we band together, we can get all these homes. And we could, if we're there long enough, we could actually even own the home and sell the home and make money from the home. And so these things are being sent across the media. They're there for to get us frightened, number one. And then number two, they're also releasing a message to the illegal population. So know that we're being manipulated in our emotions. It's important that we stay calm and, you know, we go, okay, that's happening. We're not going to take up arms. We're not going to start a civil war. We're going to get these guys in Washington out of there, and we need to vote them out. The other thing that just totally floored me is New York City Mayor Adams came out this week, and he said that New York City is the safest big city in America. I mean, what is up with that?
Well, if you're a politician, delusional. It might be. It might be if you're a politician. You might have armed guards, and it's crazy. But you know, you mentioned the voting. You know, that's how we're going to do it. We're not going to take up arms and start lynching and doing all those things, right? But you know, you mentioned that, so I want to show you what voting has changed a bit, and I found it very encouraging. And we kind of need some encouragement. So let me just play this real quick.
Eve in droves, black and Hispanic. They're leaving the Democrat Party.
I want to move then now on to the sort of bigger political scene in the U.S. And it seems like American politics is starting to realign in ways that you have predicted and talked about in your work. And we're in the midst of a racial realignment, with recent polling showing non-white voters shifting away from Democrats towards Republicans, and an economic realignment as well, with the richest now explicitly favoring Democrats over Republicans. Walk us through these numbers here, and you know how this plays out into this idea that the Democrats have basically abandoned their working class roots.
Yes, thank you so much for pointing out that I've been right all along, James. One never tires of hearing such a thing. But yes, indeed, the people who have been talking about the realignment for all of these years, it turns out we knew what we were talking about. 9 of the 10 richest districts in America are now led by Democrats. 65% of people making more than $500,000 a year are now Democrats. 97% of donations from Silicon Valley go to Democrats, as well as 94% of donations from journalists. Did you know, James, that Wall Street in 2020 gave more money to Democrats than they did to Donald Trump? That's what we're seeing here, is a realignment. And, you know, they love to say white rural rage is what's fueling Donald Trump. It is a canard. It is nonsense. Joe Biden is losing black and Hispanic working class Americans who are not defecting for the GOP. They are defecting for Donald Trump because he speaks to the working class of all races. And the Democrats, meanwhile, have abandoned labor to cater to highly educated college elites and the dependent poor on the bottom, people who don't work, meaning everybody else who is working class, who works with their hands for a living, who struggles for the American dream, have had the Democrats have turned their backs on that.
Anyway, yeah. So I find that very encouraging that it's just, you know, been mapped out, graphed out, and shown. Yes.
Yes. Well, it will be interesting to see who the illegal immigrants vote for, because an Obama appointed judge, he basically just threw out a lawsuit where voters were trying to stop illegals from voting and running for office in Washington, D.C. And, you know, that's a separate, the District of Columbia is a strange place. But federally, they have voted that illegals can vote in certain elections, the district-wide elections. And the judge said the plaintiffs couldn't prove that illegal voting harms them. And according to the judge, the conservative group failed to show that their rights as citizens had been subordinated merely because of their father's country of origin. And so what you see here is a trying to normalize and begin to get this idea, oh, illegals can now hold office. They can vote. They can they need to be able to have a voice about what is occurring in their neighborhoods. And you get that at a local level, and then pretty soon you have them ruling and making laws for our land and legislating and having, in San Francisco, they're putting Chinese non-citizens on the voting commission.
Yeah,
it is the strangest thing. Did you see that article? It was like, are you kidding me? These are nationals, Chinese nationals, not American nationals who are American Chinese. These are Chinese nationals on the voting commission. So, and then you heard about the ruling of the illegal immigrants that
can carry firearms.
Said they could carry weapons. Well, that's also meant to. Meant to frighten us too. We know that they can carry weapons because they're already breaking the law. Of course, they're going to carry weapons. They're already carrying weapons. I mean, even that attack of the National Guard, they said they had knives and like machetes and those kind of weapons that they were carrying during that attack.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's a dinner bell to every criminal. Come on, you know, you can stay here, free this, free that, you know, we'll fly you to your city and we'll pay for your lodging at a nice 5-star hotel. You can carry a gun. You know, we can't even carry guns, unfortunately, because the way these judges have ruled against the Constitution, you know, so yeah, there's a lot to be dire about, but you know, there's also a lot of hope. And I believe that this is all part of a plan, whether it be a plan by Trump or those people or a plan by God. But one way to wake up people, because people are asleep, they need to wake up, quit. You know, the church needs to wake up. You know, if the church got off their butts and off the pews and said, you know what, we'll do our voting. We'll vote according to scriptures. Let's open up the scriptures. Let's talk about this. Yeah. What is right? What is wrong? Yeah. And let's vote accordingly. And if you're a pastor, it's like, you know what? You know, there are pastors out there, I hear. They're very proud that they have such a diverse group of that are all unity, right? Oh, we got Republicans and Democrats. And it's like, well, you know what? Are you teaching the oracles of God? Are you teaching what is right and wrong according to scripture? Because if you are teaching, yes, you'll have unity, but you're not going to have a bunch of people that say, hey, kill babies up to the day of birth. And you know, the state should run everything and blah, blah, blah. And all these things, you wouldn't have that. And so when we can get that taken care of and people would actually start voting, everything would pass according to what you would expect a Christian to support, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, they got to get out there and do it, but they're not. Yeah. And so, so what's going to get them to do it? Well, it's going to be a great awakening. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, these things are going crazy. You know, there's robberies everywhere and I'm scared now. And what do I do? I didn't know. And so it's what it might take, you know, and I'm okay with that. I am really okay with that. That's what it takes to wake people up, because once people are awake, they will be more open to listening to what God has to say. And that's really all I really want. I want people to come to Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes it's when you're at the bottom that you start to look up. So,
yeah. And you can't, you can't make people wake up. You can invite them and you can share with them. And so even here on Wake the Bear, we want to present things. But wherever you are on your waking up and feeling uncomfortable, know that that history has been uncomfortable since the beginning of time. And this is our 80 years to run this race and to do well and to stand for what is good, what is right, what is righteous, to protect children, to protect life, to protect marriages and family, to raise our children so that they are wise and understanding, and to leave the next generation in a place where they are equipped to push back against the darkness. So they're not afraid to say, oh no, you don't. Or that's not true. That's a lie. You can't just make up facts and then have it your own way. So this is our opportunity as people to really rise up together and to push back against the darkness. And that's what we're about on Wake the Bear.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for another video. Thanks for joining us again. Hit like, tell your friends about it. We would appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next time, next week. God bless. Goodbye.